Tonight we're going to learn the story of Hillel, the famous story of Hillel, who went to learn Torah, who learned Torah in spite of tremendous odds. Our sages tell us that there are different sages that contended with different difficulties. Our sages say when we get to the world to come, they're going to ask us, have you learned Torah the way you should? And if a person is going to say, well, I had too many assets, I had to deal with all my businesses, they'll tell him, were you wealthier than such and such a rabbi, that he had fields and he had whole towns that he owned, and he still learned Torah, he left it all with other people to take care of, and he still learned Torah. Were you busier than him? And the person's not going to have an answer. The Torah tells us that if a person is going to say, well, I was poor, so they're going to tell him, were you poorer than Hillel? Hillel barely had what to feed his family. And he used to work very hard. Hillel left Israel to Babylon. Hillel was known as Hillel of Bavli, to learn by the great sages Shmaya and Avtalion, who were the greatest sages of that time. Shmaya was the Nasi, Avtalion was the Av Betin. And Hillel did whatever he could to learn by them. Now, Hillel used to work, and when he had enough money to pay to enter the academy and to have food for his family, he'd go learn, which is the way people who are on a very high level can work. If you're on a very high level, then you could work each day for that day's parnasa. We're not on that level. We have to work. If we only have food for today, then we better make sure we have food for the week and for the next week. But people on Hillel's level, they could work on that way. So every day Hillel used to work, bring home some of the money so they had food to eat that day, and whatever remained was enough to pay to enter the academy. And one day he found no work, and Hillel didn't have with what to enter the academy. Now Hillel wanted to learn, but he couldn't pay. It was the middle of the winter, and Hillel wanted to learn. So, what's he going to do? They had, in the ceiling, they had a skylight. They had an opening in the ceiling. And Hillel figures, if I can't enter the academy to learn, so I'll go to the roof to learn. Now, we have to understand the level of concentration that our sages had. Hillel was a Tana. He lived in the time of the Mishnah. So his level of concentration was greater than the Amoraim, who were on a much lower level. The Amoraim in general had such awe of the Tanoim, the rabbis in the time of the Gemara, had such awe of the rabbis in the time of the Mishnah, that they wouldn't dare argue on them. If a rabbi in the Mishnah said something, and the rabbi in the time of the Gemara heard it, he would never argue with him. Because they had tremendous respect for them, they recognized that they were much greater than them. The Gemara tells us that Abaye had such concentration that he would sometimes crouch down, and his thumbs would be under his feet and they'd start bleeding, but he was so concentrated in his learning he didn't notice that his thumbs were bleeding. Rava had such concentration that if his mother asked him to pass him the butter during the meal, it would break his concentration for the week. They concentrated in spans of weeks. They were focused in their learning. Now remember, a lot of their learning was the oral law. A lot of their learning was by heart, so they needed tremendous concentration. We look at the text and we think about it. They worked by heart. So they were very, very focused in order to attain such great levels. We also need such focus, but we're not on that level. The Gemara says what's considered a knot. A knot is the way the young sages would tie their sandals. They tie them on Sunday and take them off Friday. All week long, they didn't have time to take off their shoes. They were focused in their learning. Taking off your shoes? Who ever heard of that? Who has time for that? They were focused in their learning. That was their level of concentration. And our story is going to tell us about someone who was greater than the time, the Amoraim, Hillel, who was the top Tana in his time. That's why he was the Nasi. He was the top disciple of Shmaya and Avtalion. And it's a bitter winter month. It's the month of Teves. So Hillel can't enter the academy. So he climbs to the roof and he listens through the skylight to the words of the great sages Shmaya and Avtalion. And he's immersed in their teachings, and he's in love with all the learning, and he doesn't realize that he's slowly, slowly becoming frozen. And it's starting to snow, and Hillel is frozen in place. He's completely frozen, covered with snow, and he faints on that rooftop. Now, seems that way, yeah. Kushmai and Aftalim were in Babel.
Oh.
Okay. The Gemara says that Hillel came to Eretz Yisrael after Shmaya and Aftalim passed away. That's what it says. So if he's learning by Shmaya and Aftalim, it would seem that the story is taking place in Babel. Everyone's learning. And when comes morning, suddenly Shmaya and Aftalim notice that, hey, it's already sunlight and it's dark in the Beis Medrash. Now, in those days, they used to learn through the night. And if they didn't learn through the night, then they'd enter the academies early in the morning, long before sunrise. The lessons would begin early, at the late night hours, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, they'd start learning. So they realized that it's time for the sun to have risen, and it's not yet light in the academy. So they look up to see what's covering their skylight. And they look up, and they see the figure of a body. So everyone got scared. They run up, they dig in the snow, and they find a man frozen there, none other than Hillel. They take him down. They, even though it was Shabbos, they put him next to the fire, and they try to anoint him, and they try to heat him up until he starts breathing again. And of course, we know the halacha is that for the risk of someone's life, even if it's not certain that they're going to die, but if there's any thought that they might die, we're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. So of course, for Hillel, they did whatever they could to bring him back. And from that day on, they permitted Hillel. They told the guard, he goes in, even if he can't stay, you let him in. And Hillel obviously came back to himself. He was healed, and he continued learning, and he became the great sage, Hillel HaNasi, not to be confused with his great-great-great-grandson, many generations later, Hillel Nesia, who was already in the time of the Amoraim, in order to discern between the two. So the Hillel we know is called Hillel HaNasi, Hillel HaZokein, and the one who lived many generations later in the time of the Gemara was known as Hillel Nesia. He was also the Nasi, but they changed the name to be Babylonian. They called him Hillel Nesia. Our Hillel, Hillel HaZakin, Hillel HaNasi, is also referred to in the Gemara sometimes as Hillel HaBavli, Hillel the Babylonian, because everyone knew him as the Babylonian. He came to Israel after learning many years in Babylon under Shmaya and Avtalion.